And I have allergies, so forgive me. It's a constant battle. And I have a dog I'm allergic to. Okay. This is going to be about the angel and his promises, but it's going to be more than that. I don't know how many of you know, but I have a son who has recently gone in the Navy. And I am dead proud of him. I am just, boy, I'm so proud. Amen? Because not everybody has the willingness or the courage to step up. And I don't care whether you're doing it for 2 years or 20 years. The fact that you choose to serve just blows me away. And so I've thought, been thinking a lot about being in the military and what it means. And then I think about, you know, it keeps talking about the host, the Lord's host. You heard that in the song. He is a warrior king. He isn't just sitting back floating around on a cloud somewhere. He has given us protection with his angels, and they are amazing, but they are under our command and his. So I want to talk to you about the military a little bit because I think it applies to us. The military operates, this is Military Training 101. The military operates on a strict hierarchical structure. Try to say that with mouth. And discipline is the glue that holds it together. Military training instills a sense of discipline and obedience to orders, even when faced with personal risk or discomfort. Now, just for a moment, take that and put it on. I am in God's army. Am I willing to be disciplined and obey orders even when I face personal risk or discomfort? This is achieved through rigorous drills, physical training, constant reinforcement of military custom and courtesies. This strict adherence to orders ensures cohesive action and effective command and control in combat situations. Furthermore, it fosters a sense of teamwork and camaraderie essential for operating in high-stress environments. This sense of camaraderie and mutual support is crucial for maintaining morale, building trust, and overcoming challenges in the face of adversity. I have taken this from a Military Training 101 manual, okay? So this is what they're looking for. They're looking for people who are ready to work towards a common goal, that can work as a team, that can be obedient and practice the drills and go through the physical training and constant military customs. Okay, so how does that have anything to do with you and me? I mean, we didn't sign up, did we? Or did we? Exodus chapter 23, verse 20. Behold, this is, okay, now, back in for a second. So we've been studying Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers. We've been going right through. And when I saw this, when Rabbi Jeff was teaching this, that's what got my attention. I literally perked up and I went, wait a minute. This means something, okay? So we've already studied this, so we're kind of backtracking for a moment, but you'll get why. Behold, I send an angel before you to keep you in the way and to bring you into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice. Do not provoke him, for he will not pardon or accept your transgressions, your rebellion against God, for my name is in him. Now, this is interesting because in the name of Yeshua is God's name, Yahweh. So we know that his name really is in Yeshua. So we know that this angel that he's talking about is Yeshua and is pre-incarnate, don't we? We've got a complete picture. Now, there's some seriously scary things to look at. It says, for he will not pardon. It doesn't mean that God won't forgive us. It means he's not going to accept it. If you blow it, you're going to suffer consequences. That's the way life is. It's like gravity. If you jump off the bridge, you're going down. Okay? You have to understand that there are consequences. But in John 10:29, we know that my Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Isn't that a great promise? Nothing is going to keep you from the Father or from Yeshua. Nothing, it says, no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I love that promise. That's like one of those promises. Okay, so we're going to keep going. Continuing in chapter 23 of Exodus. But if you indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, so even though it's his voice, it's God that's speaking, then I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries. Man, that's a great team to be on. Now, in that song, we didn't sing this part, but it's true. It says, and the train of his robe fills the temple with glory. Now, here's something you may or may not know, that in those days, when a king conquered another king, he would take that king's robe and connect it to his. And every king that he conquered, he got a little addition to the train of his robe. Now, the temple that he's talking about is in the future. How do I know? Because there's no walls. Not a one. Because the train of his robe fills the temple with his glory. How could he see that if he was inside the Holy of Holies? Or if he was in the holy place? Or if he was in the courtyard and the Lord is on the throne? The Lord was on the throne high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple so he could see everything and everybody could see. And that train was the conquered kings that have been in your life, that have had you down, that God says, nope, I've conquered them. The train of his robe fills the temple with his glory. It's his glory, not mine. It's his glory. So he says, I will be an enemy to your enemy and an adversary to your adversaries. If you're going to have somebody on your team, this is the one. Amen? All right. Now, the other kind of cool thing about this, I couldn't remember whether I put this in or not. Yes. It's kind of like the opposite of Ruth's promise. In Ruth, we see Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God. And God is saying the other side of this, wherever you go, I'm going. Wherever you lodge, I'm lodging. All of you people are my people and I am your God. Amen? Amen. I love it. Okay. I used an AI and I created this guy. That's an angel I created. But I think that's my vision when I kept putting in stuff and saying, I want to see what my Lord's angel, that this is one of the guys that's hanging out with me all the time. All right. For my angel in this case is Malach, and it can mean ambassador, angel, or king, will go before you and bring you into the Amorites. Okay, not the him. The Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, the Termites, I will cut them off. Amen? I will cut them off. Oh, I kept going. You shall not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do according to their works, but you shall utterly overthrow them and completely down their sacred pillars. Because that would be counter to the plan to be honoring their gods. It would be counter to God's plan. And who would want to do that with our God doing all of this for us? We want to go in and knock it all down because the angel's going before us anyway and doing it. We're just following. I read a thing the other day and it was like, it just smacked me in the face. It was talking about the harvest is plenty and the laborers are few. And I don't know about you, but sometimes things don't get me all the time. And then finally one day it smacks me up in the head. Right? So the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. What does a laborer do when they're harvesting? All they do is they pick it. Do they do anything else? They pick it. We just got to go out there and start picking. Okay? And this is God. He has done all of the work. All we do is harvest. All he wants us to do is not bow down to them. Gee, I can do that. I cannot bow down to somebody. He wants us to not serve them. Well, I can do that. I can keep going this way and serving God and not serving them. Nor do according to their works. Again, I'm going to do according to God. So that's easy. I don't have to do that stuff. Right? So you shall serve the Lord your God. And this is now we're getting into the good stuff. And he will bless your bread and your water. And I will take sickness away from the midst of you. No one shall suffer miscarriage or be barren in your land. I will fulfill the number of your days. Oh, and by the way, by knocking down their pillars and their altars, we won't be able to serve them either. Think about that. Once you've knocked theirs down, they're not going to serve them. Neither are you. So we have to knock them down. Okay, so remember. Oh, my nose. No. Remember, this was being made to the Israelites as they were traveling through the land with Moses just after they crossed the Red Sea. These were all really new concepts for them. The idea of having sickness taken away or God blessing your bread and water. How does that happen? God is like, amazing. The people are going, huh? He can do that? Yeah. Yeah, he can. I will send my fear before you. I will cause confusion among all the people to whom you come and make them, all your enemies, turn their backs to you. Can you imagine that you're like, there's a scary guy up ahead, and all of a sudden he just doesn't see you? It's amazing, but he can do that. Her name, the books, the Bibles, Crossing during World War II. Why am I drawing a blank? It happened several times for her. When she was taking Bibles, almost had it, across, they would search her stuff, and she'd have Bibles like out on the open almost, and they wouldn't see them. Because God can do that. God can do that. He's amazing. This is our prayers today still. They had seen what God could do at the Red Sea, and now they're going to see that the enemy will turn his back. Okay, so that's part A. Now we're going to look at part B. How do we apply this with Messiah? That was an angel. But now we're going to apply it with Messiah, our reconciliation. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Messiah died for the ungodly. Praise God, because I was a mess. Or who would say that? I was a hot mess. I always kind of wanted to go, what does a hot mess look like? I'm not even sure I want to be that. But I was. So they were without strength then, and we are now. It's not about my strength. It's not about yours. I have to remind myself, it doesn't matter how smart I think I am. God's in charge. It's his strength, not mine. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet, perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Messiah died for us. I'm going to circle around to John 3:16, and we can probably all say it with our eyes closed. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The tricky part is most people don't have 17 memorized. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. We really need to learn 17, because it's not to condemn the world. And I don't know about you, but I am famous for looking at people and going, bad, so bad, because I'm full of condemnation. And then God goes, you know, like, oh, he didn't come to condemn. He came to save. Going back to Romans, he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. I was talking with my daughter about a person, and I was saying that we really need to pray for this person, because they are going to hell if they don't get saved, if they don't repent, if they don't recognize what they've been doing and the sin that they've been living in. They are condemned already, because they don't believe in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So instead of pointing that finger, I need to raise that hand in prayer, because it's only in the name of the only begotten Son of God that they've got a hope in them. And that's what we have to do, is pray for these people. Romans 5:7. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man some would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his love for us, toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Messiah died for us. Think about the good man. You know, I'd like to think I'm okay. I'm a good person, right? So, you know, maybe Messiah would die for me. Now, he died because I'm full of sin. I'm full of sin. I have to confess, repent, day in, day out, every day. It's a gift that he died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. I don't want my brother and sister to go through the wrath to come. I don't want Greg's brother to go through the wrath to come. And I'm telling you, it's hard to get that to come out of this mouth. I don't want anyone to go through the wrath to come. The consequence of our disobedience is to go through the wrath to come. For if we were enemies, we were reconciled. We were reconciled to God through the death of his Son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through Adonai, Messiah Yeshua, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. I want you to look at that word. We were enemies to God. I was an enemy. God considered me an enemy. He loved me, but he considered me his enemy until I was ready to be reconciled. We were his enemy. We were all his enemy before we accepted him. That very thought brings me to my knees in tears. I don't even want to think about how I was his enemy. I was an enemy to God, the creator of the universe, who made the cute little bunny onesies in my backyard and the pretty little flowers and he gave me Messiah to die for my sin.
Amazing.
So how do we live today? We put on this armor in Ephesians. I didn't put that in. Ephesians chapter 6, it says in verse 10, "Finally, my brethren and sisters, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might." Whose power? His might. "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." So we've come full circle now. We are back in the Lord's army. We're going to put on the whole armor. He's not going to call us to an army without giving us that protection that we need. And it's the wiles of the devil. It's not just the bad words of the devil. It's his wiles. It's how he plans things to try and trick you and me, to play with our hearts and minds, to deceive us into thinking things that aren't true. Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, which is how Hasatan would have us fight. He thinks that he can turn it into something where it's, "I don't like you anymore. I'm not talking to you anymore. You're not my friend. I'm not calling her. She's going to have to call me first." No. But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, not the one that we were talking about in the book of Exodus, it's still this age. We're in it. Against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places that Yeshua actually passed through when he ascended into heaven to sit on the right hand of God. He conquered the train of his robe. He conquered. "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day." When's the evil day? Today. Today. "And having done all to stand." Stand therefore. I love that God does that. Having done all to stand. Stand therefore. "Having girded your waist with truth." How do we gird our waist with truth? Let's see. What does our waist do? You wear a belt, and that keeps your pants up, right? It protects you so that you don't embarrass yourself. So you speak the truth always, and it's right there in front of everybody. "And having put on the breastplate of righteousness." Whose righteousness is that? His righteousness. And a breastplate, what does a breastplate do? Protects your heart from what? Arrows, mighty slings and arrows of men. Anything that people say, words, anything that's thrown at you, that's right. "And having shod your feet." I love that word. We never use that anymore. "I have shod my feet with sandals." With the preparation. Now notice it's the preparation. A lot of people don't talk about that. It's the preparation of the gospel of peace. It's being prepared to tell everyone a reason for the hope that is in you. It is being prepared. You have to prepare. It isn't something that miraculously you read your Bible and boop, you know it all. Don't you wish it was that easy? But I'll tell you what, that's why I write all these songs. I play them over and over and over and over, and finally a little bit of it gets in my brain and a little bit of it trickles down into my heart. You have to read it over and over. You have to speak it. There was a group of people who were absolute garbage, but they did teach me one good thing, and that was receive, retain, release. It's a really good principle. It's probably the only good principle they taught me. But it's important to remember, when you receive, that means you read the word or you hear the word. You let it cogitate a little bit. You chew on it, right? Chewing like the cow chews its cud. You swallow it, comes back up. I know it's disgusting, but you swallow it, comes back up. You swallow it, comes back up. Then you release. You go and tell somebody. When's the last time you actually told somebody about something you'd been studying?
Ooh, ouch. That's why I play music, so that I can go, hey, listen to my new song.
Yeah, and you may think, oh, not another one. She's done it again. Oh, my Lord. But it's a way for me to share the gospel of peace, the good news of Messiah's peace. And above all, taking the shield of faith. What kind of shield is that? Amen. That faith, that shield, in the pictures of the day and time that they were living in, I don't want to move around too much. But imagine that there's another soldier next to me, and there's another soldier next to me. And the kind of shield that they used was, it would, was as tall as they were. Now, they weren't big people, so I'm probably taller than they were. But anyway, it was as tall as they were, and it was wide as they were, so that they would hold this shield, and each shield would lock into the one next to them. Okay, we are to lock with each other's shields, so that then we can protect with the faith that we are trusting God for this protection. That's the faith that we have. The faith of Yeshua, with which you will be able, and who is it really doing it? God, to quench all of the fiery darts of the wicked one. Who's ever been hit by a fiery dart from the wicked one? We all have, okay? I mean, I've been hit with them in every possible way. I worked in a salon where a guy had taken a Barbie doll that was on this girl next to me, her counter, and he had turned it into something I don't want to describe to you. It was disgusting and vile. And then he put it on my station. He was actually trying to attack me because he knew I was a believer. He showed me a picture of Yeshua. I won't even tell you about that. I finally looked at him and I said, that picture, that's my brother. You just said something disgusting about my brother. It was the first time I'd actually verbally come against the guy. And he looked at me and he went, oh, wow, I'm sorry. It never entered his mind that I would be offended by such a thing. He had to hear it. So we take that shield of faith and we quench the fiery darts. And we take the helmet of salvation. Oh, excuse me just a moment. I got to go over here and get my helmet. Oh, I'm swinging and singing here. Okay. Whoops. I know their camera guy's going, what is she doing now? Okay. Oh, I do. I thank you. See, you got to look after me all the time, don't you, Linda? Thank you so much. We're good. Oh, more. Look at that. All right. So we take the helmet of salvation. Now, this isn't going to protect me from much other than maybe a little bit of rain. So what would I want to have protecting my head? My helmet of salvation is the knowledge that I continue to study and absorb into my frontal lobe where I can make good choices. Amen? That's where I can get my helmet on and know that I am saved from the wrath to come. And I can share it with others. And the sword of the Spirit is really what? That's right. It's which is the word of God. It's Rhema. We have to speak it. We have to speak it. Can't you speak the word if you don't know it? So we're right back to, you got to read it. All right. Praying. Oh, here we go. She's going to make us pray again. Praying always. When? Always. With all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Now that is a mouthful. being watchful with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. We are supposed to be in prayer all the time for everything and everyone. That's our job. And God believes we can do it, or he wouldn't ask us to do it. So, one more attitude about the war we're in. 2 Corinthians 10:3. For we, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Now, am I pulling down your stronghold? No. Am I pulling down somebody else's stronghold? I'm pulling down the strongholds that the enemy has gotten in me that I have to speak the word to. We have to war according to the Spirit and trust God to pull these strongholds down. Father, I don't smoke anymore. I don't ever want to touch a cigarette again, God. And I thank you that you took that away from me. But it took major prayer. And I'm praying and I'm praying, and my daughter quit smoking. And I'm praying and I'm praying. There are mighty strongholds that we have to pray against. It's not our power. We're putting it in God's hands. When we pray, we're not changing God's mind. Now, I know that it sounds like Moses changed God's mind a lot of times. What Moses did was actually get in alignment with God's thinking. Do you think any of the stuff that happened with Moses caught him, got God by surprise? No, he knew it was coming. He knew it. But Moses was being recreated just like me, just like you, being recreated to think God's thoughts. And that's what we want to do. Casting down arguments and every high thing. Oh, but I don't think I should be. I can't do it, God. I'm not. Every argument and high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Messiah. Whose captivity? The captivity of God. We're going to obey Messiah. We're back to that angel, remember? Obedience to the angel. Do what he says. If you don't do it, you're going to be in trouble. And being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. What disobedience is going to get punished? Theirs. They're going to get their disobedience punished. Your obedience will be fulfilled. Ephesians 6:19, and for me, that utterance may be given to me. I love that Robert's really gotten on this about Paul when he was out of, or was it Peter? Peter was out of jail, and he said, give us more boldness, give us more boldness. And here it is, Paul saying, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. What is that mystery? Ephesians 3:6 says that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Messiah through the gospel. That's the mystery of the gospel. The mystery that was kept hidden. Satan wouldn't have killed Messiah if he had known that the door was going to be open to everybody. So we got the door open to everybody. We need to get out there and talk to them. And obedience, I have a note here, is synonymous with loyalty. So if we say that we are going to be loyal, we have to be obedient. And this would be our prayer, that after we have walked, following him in his steps, and stood, having put on the armor he has closed up with, and knelt, praying with all supplication for his kingdom to come, his will to be done on earth as it is done in heaven, before the throne of the King. This is what we want to do, is spend time learning how to better walk as my angel. Stand, that's God's angel. He's just watching out for me. And kneel, that's the picture I have, okay? I told them this is a picture of the angel that I believe is protecting me. You know, you have angels all around you. Angels encamp around those who believe. You do know that, don't you? And I will send my angel on jobs. Go take care of Brenda because she needs help right now. Go take care of Lisa. You know, she needs, send more angels with you. When you pray for somebody, you are sending angels to minister. Remember the angels ministered to Yeshua when he was on the mount? Well, they minister to you too. And they will minister to people you direct them to, but you have to open your mouth and actually pray for it. So we walk according to God's promises, we stand on those promises, and then we kneel and pray those promises. I finished on time. So, if you have been trying to get through this life on your own terms, big mistake. If you have never known that he would care for you so much that he died so that you could no longer be his enemy, just saying that. Tonight, as we pray, ask him to heal your heart and give you the new abundant life that he has promised. If you've been fighting battles that seem to be lost, if you've been feeling beaten, tired of the war that you've been trying to fight alone, tonight as we pray, lay down the battle and let him take it up for you. If you've been struggling with thoughts that are not of God, tonight as we pray, give them to God, cast them down before his throne, that he may begin the healing process of your mind. Join me in prayer. Abba Yahweh Elohim, we praise you and thank you that you are the creator God of the universe, that nothing is too hard for you. And the things that we have been going through in our lives, whether it's thoughts that have not been correct according to you and your word, whether our hearts have been hurt by others and fiery darts have been attacking us. Father, if we are trying to fight any battle on our own, God, we praise you now and thank you that you know these battles. You saw them before the foundation of the earth. And your arm is not too short to win them because you've won them already. So, Father, with every person here now and everyone that is listening to this, I thank you that you reach into their hearts, their minds, their lives, and you send angels to surround them, angels of yours, too, for everyone that the enemy is trying to send to them. To fight the battle, to minister to them, to help them, to heal them. We ask that your Ruach HaKodesh well up inside of them and give them strength and wisdom. I thank you that as they open their Bibles tonight and in the days to come, that you give them new understanding and clarity of mind. We thank you, Father, that you have blessed us with this mighty angel who is also our risen King and Messiah, who gave his life for us so that we could be redeemed, restored, and given a new life. We thank you for these things being done according to your plans and purposes in the mighty name of Yeshua, HaMashiach. Amen.